Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memorei Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Alef, the 10th Perek, Arvei Psachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings a brisa that says, Shlosha Ein Mamatzin, there are three things that we may not allow to pass between, which the Rashbam explains means that one of these three things may not pass between two men, V'lo Mitzmatzin, and we may not pass between them. And these are a Kelev, V'Hadekel, V'Isha, a dog, a palm tree, and a woman. And some say also a pig, and some say also a snake. A papa, as explained by the Rashbam, states that if one of these does pass between, one should say a series of psukim to begin and end with either the word kel, God, or lo, no. This is a reference to psukim Parshas Balak, where Bilam blesses Bnei Yisrael and states that no harm will come to them and that they are worthy of bracha because there are no diviners or soothsayers among them. Point number two, the Gemara discusses a number of other ways in which a dikla, a palm tree, can endanger a person, including the following, which Rabbi Yitzhak taught. What is the meaning of that which is written, Gam ki elach begeitz al mavis lo yirara ki ata imadi? Though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Zeh yashim betzel dekla yechidi betzel levana. This is a reference to one who sleeps in the shade of a lone palm tree or in the shade of the moon. The Gemara explains that it is only dangerous to sleep in the shade of a lone palm tree if there is no nearby palm tree whose shadow falls on the first one. The Rashbam explains that a demon working under a palm tree will move to another one that's nearby rather than harm someone who sleeps under the first tree. The Gemara then proves that this is only true in a field. In a courtyard, on the other hand, it's always dangerous to sleep under a lone palm tree. The Rashbam explains that if there's no room for the demon to leave because it's enclosed in the courtyard, it remains beneath the palm tree and harms the person. And point number three, the Gemara teaches that there are two ketev demons, and each one is active during a different half of the day. The name of the one that's active before noontime is ketev meriri, and the name of the one that's active after noontime is ketev yashut saharaim. So once when Abai was going along with Rav Papa on his right side and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua on his left side, he saw a ketev meriri demon coming towards him on his left side towards Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Abai switched Rav Papa to his left side and put Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua on his right. When Rav Papa asked Abai why he was placed in harm's way and Abai seemingly had no concern for him, Abai responded, At shaita kamatlach, the times are propitious for you. The Rashbam explains that Abai meant that since Rav Papa was wealthy and blessed with good fortune, he'll not be harmed by a demon. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara brings a brisa that says, Shlosha Ein Mamatzin. There are three things that we may not allow to pass between, which the Rashbam explains means that one of these three things may not pass between two men. V'lo Mitzmatzin, and we may not pass between them. And they are a kelv, a dekel, v'isha, a dog, palm tree, and a woman. And some say af a chazir, a pig, and some say af a nachash, a snake. Rav Papa, as explained by the Rashbam, states that if one of these does pass between, one should say a series of psukim begin and end with either the word kel, God, or lo, no. This is a reference to psukim in Parshas Balak, where Bilam blesses Bnei Yisrael and states that no harm will come to them and that they are worthy of bracha because there are no diviners or soothsayers among them. Point number two, the Gemara discusses a number of other ways in which a dikla, palm tree, can endanger a person, including the following, which Rabbi Yitzhak taught. What is the meaning of that which is written, Gam ki elach begeitz al mavis, lo yirara ki ata imadi? Though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Zeh yashim betzel dekel yechidi ubetzel levana. This is a reference to one who sleeps in the shade of a lone palm tree or in the shade of the moon. The Gemara explains that it is only dangerous to sleep in the shade of a lone palm tree if there's no nearby palm tree whose shadow falls on the first one. The Rashbam explains that a demon working under a palm tree will move to another one that's nearby rather than harm someone who sleeps under the first tree. The Gemara then proves that this is only true in a field. In a courtyard, on the other hand, it's always dangerous to sleep under a lone palm tree. The Rashbam explains that if there's no room for the demon to leave because it's enclosed in the courtyard, it remains beneath the palm tree and harms the person. And point number three, the Gemara teaches that there are two ketev demons, and each one is active during a different half of the day. The name of the one that's active before noontime is ketev meriri, and the name of the one that's active after noontime is ketev yashut saharayim. So once when Abai was going along with Rav Papa on his right side and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua on his left side, he saw a ketev meriri demon coming towards him on his left side, towards Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. So Abai switched Rav Papa to his left side and put Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua on his right. So Rav Papa asked Abai why he was placed in harm's way, and Abai seemingly had no concern for him. Abai responded, At shata kamatlach. The times are propitious for you. The Rashbam explains that Abai meant that since Rav Papa was wealthy and blessed with good fortune, he'll not be harmed by a demon. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Kuf Yud Alef, and our standard simon is a kayak. So here goes. The demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, through the Valley of Death, where people slept in the shade of lone palm trees and the moon, was won by the billionaire scholar, who was blessed with great fortune. Once again, in slow motion. The demonic kayak race, that must be run Duff, Kufyud Olive. The demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, which reminds the Gemara brings a brisa that says there are three things that may not pass between two men, and that we may not pass between them, and they are the dog, the palm tree, and the woman, some say also a pig, and some say also a nachash, a snake. Rapapa, as explained by the Rashbam, states that if one of these does pass between them, one should say a series of psukim that begin and end with the word kel, God, or lo, no. And this is referenced to psukim in Parshas Balak, where Bilam blesses Bnei Yisrael and states that no harm will come to them, and that they are worthy of bracha because there are no diviners, earth soothsayers, among them. So the demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, through the Valley of Death, where people slept in the shade of lone palm trees, and the moon, which reminds Rabbi Yitzhak taught, what's the meaning of the pasuk, Gam ki elach begeitz al maves, lo yirara ki ata imadi. Though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Zeha yashim betzel deko yechidi betzel levana. This is a reference to one who sleeps in the shade of a lone palm tree or in the shade of the moon. And the Gemara explains that it is only dangerous to sleep in the shade of a lone palm tree if there is no nearby palm tree whose shadow falls on the first one. The Rashbam explains that a demon lurking under a palm tree will move to another one that's nearby rather than harm someone who sleeps under the first tree. The Gemara then proves that this is only true in a field. In a courtyard, on the other hand, it's always dangerous to sleep under a lone palm tree. And the Rashbam explains that there's no room for the demon to leave because it's enclosed in the courtyard. It remains beneath the palm tree and harms the person. So the demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, through the Valley of Death, where people slept in the shade of lone palm trees and the moon, was won by the billionaire scholar who was blessed with great fortune. Which reminds the Gemara teaches that there are two ketiv demons, and each one is active during a different half of the day. The one that's active before noontime is ketiv meriri, and the one that's active after noontime is ketiv yashud saharaim. So once when Abai was going along with Rav Papa on his right side, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua on his left side, he saw a ketiv meriri demon coming towards him on his left side, towards Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So Abai switched Rav Papa to his left side and put Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua on his right. When Rav Papa asked Abai why he was placed in harm's way, and Abai seemingly had no concern for him, Abai responded, times are good for you. The Rashbam explains that Abai meant that since Rav Papa was wealthy and blessed with good fortune, he'll not be harmed by a demon. So once again, the demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, through the Valley of Death, where people slept in the shade of lone palm trees, and the moon, was won by the billionaire scholar, who was blessed with great fortune. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the simple Daf Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The lavish couscous dish. Couscous dish? That must be one Daf Kuf Zayin. The lavish couscous dish prepared by Malav Malka was not touched by the visiting rabbi who was given dapir for Havdalah, which reminds us of the incident of a Mamer traveling being given dapir for Havdalah, not wanting to make Havdalah in anything but wine, went to bed fasting. When it happened again the second year, he said, Ihachi chamer medinahu. If so, beer is the wine of the province. He said Havdalah and he tasted some food. Rashbam explains that a Mamer meant that because wine was regularly unavailable there, beer was the local equivalent and therefore suitable for Havdalah. And the Gemara discusses the suitability of several types of beer for Kiddush on Havdalah and brings some incidents about the ill effects that occurred after drinking some date beer. So the lavish couscous dish prepared for Malav Malka was not touched by the visiting rabbi who was given date beer for Havdalah and told to make sure he had a cheekful, which reminds us, as a Malchokas, how much wine must be tasted when making a bracha over a kos shel bracha, such as Kiddush, Havdalah, and Birkas Hamazon. The Tanakhama says a kol shu, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says a cheekful, a mali lugma. Another brice is brought that supports the second opinion. So the lavish couscous dish prepared for Malav Malka was not touched by the visiting rabbi who was given date beer for Havdalah and told to make sure he had a cheekful, and who was now in such pain that he couldn't even dream of eating Erev Pesach close to Mincha Katana. Which reminds us, it was a question when the Mishnah said that one should not eat Erev Pesach Samuch Mincha. Was that referring to Mincha Gadol or Mincha Katana? The Gemara explains that this issue revolves around the reason for the prohibition against eating close to Mincha. Is it because a meal and Mincha Gadol could be drawn out and cause a person to not bring the Karban Pesach, which must be brought that afternoon? Or is it because a later meal at Mincha Katana could cause a person to eat the matzah that night in a manner of achila gasa, excessive consumption. And the Rashbam explains that achila gasa is not halachically considered eating. The Gemara proves from a brisa that samachu mincha katana tanan. The Mishnah states that one may not eat on Erev Pesach close to mincha katana. Daf kuf ches. The simon is a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket. Pickpocket. That must be on daf kuf ches. The pickpocket who reclined while drinking the first two cups of wine at the Seder. Which reminds us, it was stated that Rav Nachman said the cups of wine at the Seder require Seiva, and it was stated that he said they do not require Seiva. So the Gemara explains that there's no dispute and that they're referring to different cups. Some say the first two require leaning because the hashtahud the cup is chalal acheres, because it's now that freedom begins, meaning the redemption is discussed over those cups. Others say the last two cups require leaning because ha'yishayta the kachav yacheres. It's at that time that freedom is a reality. The Gemara concludes, hashtah the imrahachi v'imrahachi, now that it was stated like this, and it was stated like this, idi v'idi by hiseba, both these two cups and these two cups require hiseba. So the pickpocket reclined while drinking the first two cups of wine at the Seder was disappointed when all he found in the pockets of the reclining son and Talmud, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses who must lean. A woman in the presence of her husband does not need to do a seba, but if she's a prominent woman, she needs leaning. The Rosh Mam explains that a woman does not typically lean because she's apprehensive in her husband's presence and subservient to him, whereas a prominent woman generally will eat reclining. A son in the presence of his father needs to do a seba. Rosh Mam explains that a son is not as subservient to a father as a man's wife is to him. And regarding a Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe, Abai said, when we were in the yeshiva of our master, referring to Rabbah, we would lean on each other's knees during the Seder, but when we came to the yeshiva of Rav Yosef, who became the head of the academy after Rabbi, he told us, you don't need to lean for mor rabach k'mor shamayim. The fear of your Rebbe is like the fear of heaven. So the pickpocket who reclined while drinking the first two cups of wine at the Seder was disappointed when all he found in the pockets of the reclining son and Talmud was a note with a reminder to have a nice cup and to drink most of it. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel teaches several halachas about the dalet kosos, which the Gemara then explains. They must contain enough wine to produce a kos yafa, a nice cup. The Gemara, according to the version preferred by the Rosh Mam, explains, hayin ravis, this is ravis. If you drink them pure, chai, meaning without adding water to the wine, he fulfilled the mitzvah, where Rava says, yedei yain yatza, yedei cheres lo yatza. He fulfilled the mitzvah to drink wine, but he didn't fulfill the obligation to act in a manner that expresses freedom. Rosh Mam explains that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah completely because wine must be diluted to be considered prominent. Rosh Mam notes that our wines do not need to be diluted. If he drank them all at once, he fulfilled the mitzvah. Rav says, yedei yain yatza, yedei harbakosos lo yatza. He fulfilled the mitzvah to drink wine, whereas the Rosh Mam explains that this is the mitzvah of Simchas Yantam, but he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dalet kosos. And if he gave his children, the members of his household, to drink from them, he fulfilled his mitzvah. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, only if he personally drank most of the cup. Daf Kuftes. The Simmer Daf Kuftes is a Hatzalah first aid kit. So here goes. Hatzalah prepared a special keep the kitties up for Seder kit. Hatzalah kit? That must be wrong. Daf Kuftes. Hatzalah prepared a special keep the kitties up for Seder kit packed with parched grain, walnuts, and a matzah grabber, which reminds the Gemara brings different prices on how to keep the children up for the Seder. Rav Yehuda says that we give children klayos ve'egos in parched grain and walnuts so that they'll not sleep and they'll ask questions. Rav Eliezer says, chotfin matzahs b'leil psachim, we snatch matzahs on the night of Pesach for the benefit of the children so they shouldn't fall asleep. The Rashbam's preferred explanation is that this means that we prevent children from eating too much matzah and becoming drowsy as a result. Alternatively, we remove the Seder plate from the table to prompt the children to ask why. And Rabbi Kiva would tell his Talmidim to stand up and leave the Beis HaMidrash Erev Pesach so that the Talmidim would go home early to ensure that their children nap during the day, or so that they could begin the Seder before the children would go to sleep. He also told them to leave the Beis HaMidrash on Erev Yom Kippur so that the Talmidim should feed their children. So Hatzalah prepared a special keep the kitties up for Seder kit packed with parched grain, walnuts, and a matzah grabber while they gave out to parents free hangers for new clothing, which reminds us that we learn from the pasuk of Asamach b'chagecha, a man is obligated to gladden his children and the members of his household on Yantav. How does he gladden them? With wine. Rabbi Yehuda says, Anashim b'ruy lehem, v'nashim b'ruy lehem, men with what's appropriate for them, and women with what's appropriate for them. The Gemara explains that wine is appropriate to gladden men, and Rabbi Yosef explains that new clothing is appropriate to gladden women. In Babel, it was with colored garments, and in Eretz Yisrael, it was with white, pressed linen garments. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, Bezman shebeis hamikdash kayam, ein simcha el bebasar. When the beis hamikdash stands, the mitzvah of rejoicing is fulfilled only to bring an offering and eating its meat. But now that the Beis HaMikdash does not stand, the mitzvah of rejoicing is fulfilled only through drinking wine. So Hatzal prepared a special Keep the Kitties Up for Seder kit, packed with parched grain walnuts and a matzah grabber, while they gave out their parents free hangers for new clothing and a custom two fingers revives measure to be used for the arbikosos. Which reminds us, the Rav Chisda defines the liquid measure of revives by describing the size of the space that a revives occupies. Revives shel Torah etzbaim al etzbaim, barum etzbaim v'chetzi etzba v'chomish etzba. The revius of the Torah is 2 fingers by 2 fingers, with a height of 2 fingers, half a finger, and a fifth of a finger, or 2 by 2 by 2.7 etzba'os. Rav Chisda derives this from a brisa that teaches that because a mikvah must be able to contain a person's entire body at one time, it must be an amma by an amma, with a height of 3 ammos. And the Chachamim determined that an area of that size contains 40 sa. Applying the same ratio, Rav Chisda concluded that an area of 2 by 2 by 2.7 etzba'os contains a revius. Daf Kuf Yud, the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud, is a gold key ceremony. So here goes. While the guests are drinking 4 cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony, that must be run Daf Kuf Yud. While the guests drinking 4 cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mazikin, as Birchos Kohanim was recited, which reminds us, on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, Gemara introduced the concept of zugos, pairs, that one should not do certain activities such as eating or drinking in pairs. This means that one should not eat an even number of the same food or an even number of the same beverage. Rabbeinu Bakhi writes that the avoidance of pairs is a concrete expression of our rejection of dualism, the heretical belief that there are two deities. Eating in pairs enables demons or sorceresses to harm a person. On our daf, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Baruch Huna were leaning and both said, Shalom wa tova mitzarf, l'ra wa mitzarf. Shalom, meaning the 7th cup, which corresponds to the 7th word in the last bracha of Birchas Kohanim, combines with the other 6 cups he drank for good, but does not combine with drinking 8 cup for bad. Therefore, there is no danger in drinking 8 cups. The Rashbam explains that since the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to convey his brachas to the Jewish people through the 7th word, Shalom, no harm in the world can come of it. The Gemara brings Rabba and Rav Yosef apply the 5th word of the middle bracha, v'chuneka, the same way, and that therefore there's no harm in drinking 6 cups. And then Abai and Rabba apply the 3rd word, v'shmerecha, in the 1st bracha, similarly, and that there is therefore no harm in drinking 4 cups. The Rashbam explains that as the harmful effects of zugos diminished from generation to generation, the Rabban ruled more leniently. So while the guests drinking 4 cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mazikin, as Birkas Kohanim was recited, the table of demon phobes, which reminds us that the Gemara presents the general rule that demons will only be particular to harm someone who's overly concerned with the issue of zugos, but even someone who's not particular about the issue should take basic precaution. So while the guests drinking 4 cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mazikin, as Birkas Kohanim was recited, the table of demon phobes who got carried away and drank 18 cups were in for a sorcerer's surprise. Which reminds us, in addition to the danger from Mazikin, demons, that zugos poses, they also expose a person to danger from kshafim, sorcery. The Gemara teaches that while even numbers of pairs such as 10, 8, 6, and 4 are safe nowadays with respect to Mazikin, these numbers and even higher numbers are still dangerous with respect to kshafim. The Gemara illustrates with the story of the woman who performed sorcery on her ex-husband whenever he would drink wine in her second husband's store. Her efforts were usually unsuccessful because he made sure not to drink zugos. But one time when he lost track after drinking 16 cups, he drank an even number of cups, and her sorcery caused him to burst. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1, which daf do we discuss whether wives, sons, and talmidim do heseba at the Seder? That's on daf Kufches. Good. Number 2, which daf do we know that demons typically harm people who are overly concerned about them? That's on daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 3, which daf do we know that one should not pass between 2 dogs, palm trees, or a woman? That's on daf Kuf Yud Olav. Good. Number 4, which daf do we learn the 2 different opinions whether Rav Nachman meant the first 2 cups are drunk with a sable or the last 2 cups are? That's on daf Kuf Ches. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn the sin for a man on Yantiv is drinking wine, whereas for a woman it's having new clothing? That's on daf Kuf Tes. Good. Number 6, which daf do we learn that one should not sleep under a lone palm tree if there's no other palm tree whose shadow falls on the first? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 7, which of the one that the revius measure is 2 by 2 by 2.7 etzba'os? That's on daf Kuf Tes. Good. Number 8, which of the one that one has until Tuesday night to make Abdallah? That's on daf Kuf Vav. Good. Number 9, which of the one that Abai was not concerned about Rapapa being harmed by the Keth Mariri demon because they don't typically harm people who are blessed with great fortune? That's on daf Kufyadov. Good. Number 10, which of them in the Kishuv does work against zugos, including higher numbers Then 10, which is illustrating the story of the sorceress and her ex-husband. That's on Daf. Kufyud X and R. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which chapter in the Talmud Chachamim bring Shalom into the world? That's on Daf. Samach Dalet and Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which chapter in the Tefillin straps must come from kosher hides? That's on Daf. Chav Chesed and Shabbos. Good. Number 3. Which of the question whether one mentions Rosh Chodesh in the Rosh Hashanah davening? That's on Daf. Mem and Erev and Exon. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.